to disappoint you, but I don't have a joke for you this morning to start off. I was just wondering if there's anyone called Fernando in the building this morning. I was going to say, can you hear the drums? Okay. Now this morning, I'll be kicking off. Oh, Priscilla got it. Awesome. Okay, so this morning we're going to kick off a new series on salvation. And over the next about 5 weeks, we'll be bringing different topics, different parts of salvation. So we're with part one today of salvation. We're going to be looking at repentance. Now, we can't look at all of salvation today, and we can't look at all of repentance. They're very big subjects. But we're also going to mention sin. And I'm going to cover salvation a little bit just so that we understand a bit of what it means. So hold on to your hats, as Luke said, put on your seatbelt, and we're going to have a look at that this morning. So we're going to look at also some words over the series. We're going to discover more of their meanings. So we're going to cover words like justification, sanctification, forgiveness, adoption, baptism, and sin. So this morning, repentance is the big topic, but I'll also cover a little bit of salvation and a little bit of sin. So let me not kick the bucket. Good thing I had the lid on that. So welcome to everyone who's watching online as well. Just give them a wave, everyone. And we trust the Lord will bless you as well. So firstly, what does salvation mean? It sounds like a big churchy word, but what does salvation mean? Well, in a general sense, when you're saved, you are rescued. Think of someone who's fallen off a ship in a storm, and then someone from the ship throws out a life buoy on a rope. Then they grab onto that rope and they're pulled in. That person is saved. Saved from drowning, saved from certain death in the storm. That's what salvation is. You are saved, you are rescued. So God provides us a rescue for our lives. Isn't that good? So that's a general sense. What is salvation? In a general sense, it's being rescued. But in a specific sense, what is it? Well, in short, salvation is being saved from sin and made alive to God. But we're going to look at more detail of that as we go today. You know, it's a whole group of things being saved. Being saved is not just a small one-time thing. Being saved means that you're forgiven of your sins. It means being made alive in your spirit to God. And being set free to enjoy a restored relationship with God. It means being adopted as a child of God and to know Him as your Father. When we're saved, we're freed from the power of sin and we are empowered to follow Jesus. And we're enabled to walk each day with the help of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. What a great provision it is to be saved. What a great provision. We are free from being slaves to ourselves. We are freed from being slaves to sin. We are freed from being slaves to the devil and this world's systems. And we are freed from the fear of death and free to eternal life. What a great salvation God has provided for us. What a great provision. What a great rescue. A rescue from where we were to where God has put us to be. So another way to explain salvation is that salvation is the whole, the entirety of God's provision for humanity in Jesus for new life and for forgiveness of sins. That's another way to look at salvation. So our new saved life is both a changed life here on earth, but the hope of eternal life in heaven. So it's not just for the here and now, it is for the future as well. But it's not just for the future, it is also for the here and now. One key part of salvation, and really part of the first step of salvation, is repentance. And that's what we're looking at today. So what is this repentance stuff? What does it mean? Well, we know that it is a key part of salvation because both John the Baptist and Jesus spoke of repentance. So let's look at a few key scriptures first in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is what John the Baptist said. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. So that is Jesus, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then later on, Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, it's recorded as him saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1:15, also similar verses in Matthew and in Luke. And later in his preaching, Jesus rebuked the people in the cities who saw many of his great miracles, the ones that didn't believe Jesus' message. And that's in Matthew 11 from verse 20. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they were notoriously wicked cities, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So we can see that repentance was an important part of Jesus' message to the people. But what does the word repent mean? What does it mean? Well, have you ever worked really hard one day, like done some gardening or done some heavy manual work or something, and then been hungry afterwards? And then you thought, oh, I couldn't be bothered cooking dinner. Maybe I could just go down to Macca's and have a Big Mac and big Coke and a massive fries and just really hoe into that. So you get in your car, you get on your bike, and you're going to Macca's. But you think, no, it's not really good for me, those Macca's. Maybe there's something healthy I could get. Maybe I could go to Sumo Salad. Maybe they do a really mean four-bean salad, and I really like the taste of that. So instead of going to Macca's, you go to Sumo Salad. That is repenting. Having one direction, going in one direction, and then turning around and going in the other direction, and ending up with your Sumo Salad rather than your Big Mac. Does that make sense? So repenting is going one direction and then having a change of mind, a change of heart, and then a change of direction and going in the opposite way. Change of mind, change of heart, and change of direction. So in a Christian sense, repenting is turning away from sin. Instead of heading towards sin, doing what you want in your own self that you know is wrong, but having a change of mind, a change of heart, a direction, and doing what the Spirit wants you to do. Christian repentance. Well, sin is just this word people bandy around, and it's a very Christian-type word. Christians talk about sin and how bad it is, but what is sin? We're just going to cover it briefly, big topic, but let's have a quick look at what is sin so that we know what we're talking about. Sin, you know, the meaning of the word is missing the mark. It's like aiming with a bow and arrow at a target and then the arrow just goes and doesn't hit the target. It's missing the mark. Where you're aiming, not quite hitting. That is what sin is. And in the Christian sense, it's falling short of God's standard. It's falling short of God's target for your life. That is what sin is. Now, sin can be doing bad things. That's a pretty obvious type of sin. You know, if someone makes you angry, slapping them across the face for no particular reason, that could be a sin. Or committing a sin like getting angry and swearing might be a sin. Doing something bad. Stealing something. Everyone can think of doing something bad examples. But there are also sins of omission, sins of not doing what you should. What about the commandment that says, honour your father and your mother? So dishonouring your father and your mother or failing to honour them would be a sin also. Do you get that? Not doing something that you should do. And there are also sins of the heart, like greed and envy or idolatry. Well, what's idolatry? Well, that's loving something else more than God. Putting something else in the place that God should have. Maybe missing church in the morning because you stay up way too late watching the rugby. Maybe you love that more than you love God. That could be idolatry in your life, and that could be a sin. Bless you all who made it to church this morning. Yeah, stayed up and watched the rugby. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So who has sinned? All. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us have made it. None of us are perfectly without sin while we're here on this earth. So that's the reason we keep short accounts. When we realize we've sinned, that's when we confess our sins and we go to God and we repent. Instead of heading in the direction we were heading for sin, we have a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction, and we turn back. Yes, repenting is having remorse, but it's not just having remorse or being sad or sorry for what we've done. It is also having a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction. It's not just feeling sorry. It's not just saying the words. You've got to mean it. Amen. Romans 6:23. I skipped one. Romans 6:23. We've just had Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this sin separates us from God and disqualifies us from eternal life and from fellowship with God. So that is a dire predicament to be in. That is not a good position. To be sinful, to be separated from God, and to be disqualified from eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." For the wages, so wages are not a gift, are they? They're what you deserve. Like when you work, you get paid a wage. So as soon as you do the work, they pay you the wage. As soon as you do the sin, you earn the wage, death. And that's not just physical death, but eternal death away as well. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God didn't leave us helpless in our sin. Didn't leave us drowning in that sea without a life buoy. There was a but God moment. Though we were unable to get out of our sin or do anything good to make up for our sins, God did it instead. Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because you see, what Jesus did on the cross for dying in our place, he paid the price. He took the penalty of our sin and substituted himself for where we should have been. And he took that punishment and bought our salvation. What a great God we have, and what a loving, generous act Jesus did to take our place on that cross. See, Jesus spoke of repentance and believing in the gospel. And In Mark 1:15, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So we are to repent and believe in what Jesus did. So what does repentance involve? Well, let's start with the letter A. The letter A is admit or acknowledge. The letter A, acknowledge your sin. Agree with the scripture that we are all sinners. It starts with acknowledging or admitting or agreeing that you are a sinner. The beginning of repentance is an understanding that, oh, I'm a sinner. So we must be aware of our sin before we can repent. Otherwise, we're just blindly going on in life thinking everything's hunky-dory and we don't need God. I'm just merrily walking along, and enough person. Oh, I'll get to heaven one day somehow. Oh, I'm all good. No, A, we must admit we're a sinner. Realize that our standard of goodness is nowhere near God's holiness, nowhere near God's standard of righteousness. Our standard is so much lower. We acknowledge that we are sinners. I acknowledge I am a sinner. So repentance starts with admitting and acknowledging we are sinners and then turning away. Going 180 degrees, the opposite direction. We're heading down a track of our sin and we turn around and we're heading towards Jesus. Instead of following sin, we are following Jesus. 180 degrees, a total reversal of where we were heading. You see, God freely forgives those who ask him for forgiveness. Though we are the dirtiest of sinners, when we repent, turn away from our sin, when we confess our sins and admit to God that we are sinners, he will freely forgive us. If we look at Romans chapter 10, the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So you know, salvation involves our whole being. It's not just our mind, but it is our heart, and our whole energy is involved in turning away from sin and looking towards God, and it is confessing with our mouth, with our physical body, and understanding that when we ask for forgiveness, our good God will forgive us. I'd like to give you an illustration of repentance. And I could find no other better illustration of repentance than one of the stories that Jesus used. And often the stories that Jesus used are called parables because they're a worldly story with a heavenly meaning. So let's go to Luke chapter 15 and we'll read from verse 11 and read this story that Jesus taught. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the story goes on to verse 32, but for this morning we're going to emphasize the bit where the prodigal son repented. Notice he came to his senses. Notice he realized that the direction he was heading was the wrong way. But it didn't just finish there. He didn't just realize in his head and in his heart that he needed to change. He had to do something about it. So he took action. He got up and he went back to his father. He didn't just leave it as a thought or a feeling. He went and put legs on his faith. So instead of dying of hunger in a foreign land, he found salvation by returning to his father. He determined he had to go back and do something about it. That is repentance. Changing direction, a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction, actually taking action. You know, in James 2:20, the scripture says, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? We've got to actually put our faith into action. We've got to actually do something about our repentance, not just say it, not just think it or feel it, but do something about it. It's about changing our direction. We read in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist again preaching, and he was talking to the crowds. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not say for yourselves, We have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. That means do something about it. Don't just say, I'm a Christian. Live like a Christian. Don't just say, God, I'm sorry. But make an effort, walk in a way to not do that again. Amen. God wants a repentance that's from the heart, not a repentance that's just in the head or just in your mouth. Sometimes people just do a half-hearted repentance, and I've got an illustration for that also from Jesus' parables. We're going to look at Matthew 18 and start from verse 23. So this is a story that Jesus told. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me and I'll pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So this example is an example of forgiveness, but in a way it's a bit of unrepentance as well. See how he pleaded with the master for forgiveness, and it made out as though he wanted to change, but he hadn't really changed, had he? He didn't realize that because we're forgiven, we need to be like our Father in heaven and forgive others. So when we repent, we need to truly repent from the heart, not just in thought or in feeling or in word, but in deed also. Repentance indeed, sincere repentance. Let's start to come in for a landing and look at 2 Timothy 2:24. Here, Paul is instructing Timothy, and Timothy was a fellow worker. Timothy was someone that Paul was training up to lead in the church. And so here Paul is encouraging Timothy. And Paul is saying to Timothy, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, and kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." So Paul is saying to Timothy that the whole point of correcting people as a leader in the church is for people to repent. It's not to punish them, but it is to see them change. And just as God is kind to us and patient with us so that we can repent, so leadership in the church is to do the same thing, is to correct people so that they will repent, so that they will come back on track serving God. Amen? That was Paul's challenge to Timothy. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness," that is God's, "and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So just as Timothy was to be kind when he rebuked people who were going off track so that they would repent, God treats us the same. He is kind to us and is patient and forbearing and long-suffering with us so that we repent, not so that we can go on sinning or so that we can go on heading in the wrong direction without turning away. God wants us to turn away from the wrong direction and head towards him. So today, what should we do? If we need forgiveness for our sins, we can repent today and start on that walk with Jesus. God is patient with us, but he won't be patient forever. Romans 13:11 says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." And 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." But you might say, "Well, how do I get saved?" Well, salvation is both a start at a point in time when you repent and confess Jesus, but is also a process through your life. But how do you start? Well, I'd like to encourage you to remember the ABCD of salvation. Does that sound easy enough? A, B, C, D. Okay. A, admit you're a sinner, and no matter how much good you try to do, you cannot make up for your sin. Admit you are a sinner. A. B, believe that God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to live a righteous life, to die in your place and pay the price for your sins. B, believe in Jesus. C, confess. So on the basis of admitting your sin and believing in Jesus, you repent. That's turn away from your sin and confess with your mouth that Jesus is both your Lord, so he commands you, and your Saviour, the one who rescues you from the power of sin. C, confess. So D is do. Do. Now walk in a lifestyle consistent with your repentance. So what is that? That's not neglecting meeting together with your fellow Christians. It's not avoiding reading the word. So reading the word, prayer, and breaking the bread. So participating in communion with your fellow believers. Living a lifestyle consistent with what you have said with your mouth, your confession. D, do. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. And D, do. Now, if there's someone in this meeting today that wants to start their walk with Jesus, very shortly we're going to have a prayer and you'll be able to put your hand up and you'll be included in that prayer that Jesus would start that work in you today. And you'll be able to confess your sin and believe today and start on that work for Jesus, that walk with Jesus. So as the early disciples modeled, what they did when they were part of the church, when they believed in Jesus, we see in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, or the word, and to the fellowship, the meeting with other Christians, to the breaking of bread, that's communion, and the prayers. So they were devoted to following Jesus. D, do, living a lifestyle consistent with your repentance, your confession, your believing, and your admitting. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So if God has spoken to you today, and if you feel Jesus knocking at your heart's door, urging you that today is your day, now is the time, today is the day of salvation for you, then I'd like to include you in prayer. So while no one's looking around, if you want to be included in this prayer of salvation, if you want to start on your journey with Jesus today, I'd encourage you, lift your hand up, and I'd like to include you in prayer. We'll just give people a moment to respond to what God is speaking in their hearts. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else want to be included? Want to start that journey? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Thank you, Lord. So let's all pray together the sinner's prayer, which just follows that outline, admit, believe, confess. And then it's up to us to do, to put legs on our faith and walk in a manner consistent with our faith. Dear Heavenly Father, let's all say it. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today admitting that I am a sinner, and acknowledging that I cannot earn my salvation. But I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. And I believe that Jesus died for me and my sins. And I confess that Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my Saviour. I thank you, Lord, that I am a child of God and that your word says I have Jesus and eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to walk in newness of life. Amen. Now, you may have prayed that prayer for the first time. If you have, good on you. But the next step is to live a life consistent with what you've committed to today and to follow in the footsteps of the disciples, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So bless you as you go today and as you have fellowship for lunch. And let's repent when we sin and keep short accounts with our God. Amen. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Dave. Can we just thank Dave? It's great. Repent.